Welcome back to The Deep Dive. This is the show where we take these really complex topics, we go through all the sources, and we give you the fast track to expertise. Today, we're stepping into the cabin of luxury. We're going to zero in on the climate control systems in high-end vehicles, and we're using the Jaguar AC system as our main case study.
Yeah.
Now, for most people, the AC button is just about comfort, but in these cars, it's so much more. It's a precision-engineered ecosystem, and it's crucial not just for keeping you cool, but maybe surprisingly, for the overall reliability of the car itself. So our mission today is to give you that complete shortcut. We want you to really get the mechanics to be able to spot the earliest warning signs of trouble well before they become catastrophic and, you know, master the preventive care so you're never blindsided by a huge repair bill just because the air started blowing a little warm.
And that idea of being blindsided is exactly why we need to have this conversation. I mean, we're talking about modern vehicle systems that are nothing like the AC from 20, even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A luxury climate control system. It's all electronically controlled. It's often tied right into the car's main computer, and it runs at incredibly high pressures.
Okay, so what does that mean for the owner?
It means that ignoring a small issue, like a minor refrigerant leak, maybe a slight noise you hear, it doesn't just mean you'll be a little uncomfortable for a while. No, because the whole system operates on such a delicate, precise balance. That small imbalance can quickly cascade into a massive thermal or mechanical overload.
And that's when it gets expensive.
That's when it escalates into a complex four-figure repair bill in, you know, just a matter of weeks. We have to respect the complexity here.
All right, let's unpack this then. Before we can even talk about what goes wrong, we need a sort of mental map of what's supposed to be going right. At its most basic level, the AC's job is always the same, isn't it?
It is.
It's just circulating refrigerant to absorb heat from inside the cabin and then kick that heat outside.
Exactly. It's all about moving thermal energy. And this process relies on thermodynamics, not just, you know, simple mechanics. To get that really rapid, high-performance cooling you expect in a luxury car, you need this critical chain of components all working perfectly in sync.
Okay.
The chain really starts with the compressor.
The heart of the system, I've heard it called that.
That's exactly what it is. It's the heart. It's driven by the engine. And its only job is to pressurize the refrigerant gas and push it through the whole circuit. That high pressure is what sets the stage for everything that follows. And the next stop is the condenser.
The condenser, that's usually right up at the front of the car by the grill, right? Mm. Why is that important?
Exactly. It looks a lot like a little radiator.
Mm.
And its location is key. It takes that hot, high-pressure gas from the compressor, and it forces it to convert back into a liquid.
And that's what gets rid of the heat.
That's what gets rid of the heat. That phase, change from gas to liquid, releases a massive amount of thermal energy. So having it at the front means cool air from outside is constantly flowing over it, carrying all that cabin heat away from the car. The condenser is literally dumping the heat.
So now we have a liquid still under high pressure, and it's ready to go back inside the cabin. How does it go from releasing heat to suddenly absorbing it?
This is the magic of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's all controlled by one small part, the expansion valve.
Okay.
This little component is the genius regulator. It takes that high pressure liquid and it suddenly forces it through a tiny opening. That creates a controlled massive pressure drop right before the refrigerant goes into the cabin.
And why is that pressure drop so critical?
It's all about the physics of boiling.
Okay.
Think about a can of compressed air. When you spray it, the can gets cold, right? It's the same idea. When you suddenly drop the pressure, the liquid refrigerant instantly starts to evaporate or boil inside the next component, which is the evaporator.
Mm-hmm.
But boiling needs energy, so it just sucks enormous amounts of heat out of the cabin air that's flowing over that evaporator core.
And that's the cold air we feel.
That is the cooling effect you feel.
Okay, I think I've got it. So compressor pushes the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Condenser releases the heat, turns it liquid. The expansion valve drops the pressure, and then the evaporator absorbs the heat by letting it boil. Then the blower fan just pushes that cold air out through the ducts.
You've nailed it. But what makes this a luxury climate control system is the sixth element, the electronics. We're talking about dozens of temperature and pressure sensors all over the system.
Right.
They're feeding data in real time to the car's computer, scanning things like, how intense is the sun hitting the windshield?
Hmm.
Or managing different temperature zones for the driver and passenger.
So it's not just an on-off switch?
Not at all. It's a constant, finely tuned dance of pressure and temperature regulation. The system is always adjusting.
And that distinction is really key then. Because it's all high pressure and electronically managed, A small imbalance can throw the whole thing off.
Absolutely. The system is designed to be perfect, but only within a very narrow operating window. A tiny leak might only cause a 5% drop in refrigerant. But that 5% might be just enough to confuse the computer. Then the system starts overcompensating or underperforming, or maybe just shuts down to protect itself. That's the risk we're trying to prevent.
Okay, this is where it gets really practical. This is the knowledge that can save our listener a lot of time and money. We've established that a small problem can become a massive one. So what are the key symptoms? What should we be monitoring for before the whole thing crashes?
Let's break it down into three common failure types. The first, and by far the most frequent, is what I call a refrigerant integrity failure.
Which is just a leak, basically.
So it's almost always a leak. We see them a lot at the hose fittings or in the compressor shaft seals, which can just, you know, dry out over time.
And what does that leak actually cause, besides warm air, I mean?
Well, the warm air is the obvious part, but here's the critical thing people miss. The refrigerant carries the oil that lubricates your compressor.
Ah, I see.
So if you lose refrigerant, you're also losing lubrication. You're forcing this expensive high-speed compressor to run dry. That creates extreme friction. And that is why a simple $50 leak can, very quickly, destroy a $1,500 compressor.
That's a huge connection to make. It's not the leak itself that's so expensive. It's the compressor starvation that follows.
Exactly. The second common failure is component overload or blockage.
Okay.
This covers things like the compressor clutch failing or maybe a physical blockage in the condenser. If the condenser gets clogged with road debris, leaves, bugs, it can't release heat properly. So the pressure inside the system just skyrockets, putting this massive strain on the compressor until it either burns out or a safety switch trips.
And I imagine the evaporator inside the dash can get blocked too.
It can. If it gets clogged with dust or mold, it hurts your cooling performance and your air quality. And that leads to our third failure type, control system and electrical issues. Mm-hmm. You know, if a pressure sensor gives a false reading or the expansion valve fails electronically, the whole system gets confused. The compressor might run at the wrong speed or the system might just cycle on and off constantly.
So we have leaks, blockages, and electrical confusion. Let's translate those into the actual warnings our listener will see, hear, or smell.
Okay, let's start with sound. Any unusual noise is a red flag.
Yeah.
A hissing or maybe a bubbling sound. If you hear that from the engine bay or even behind the dash, that's a very strong indicator of a refrigerant leak.
That's the gas escaping.
It is. That hiss is literally the sound of money escaping your system.
And what about more mechanical noises?
If you hear rattling, grinding, or a loud clicking when the AC kicks on, that points directly to the compressor.
That's a bad sound.
It's a very bad sound. It's the sound of expensive friction. If you hear that, turn the system off immediately and get it checked. You might just save the component.
Okay, second area, sight and smell.
Right. If you get that unpleasant, musty, moldy odor when you first turn the AC on.
Everyone knows that smell.
Everyone knows it. And it's not just bad air quality. That smell is from moisture building up on the evaporator coil, which is letting bacteria and mold grow. It's a sign of a problem that needs to be fixed.
And any visible signs to look for?
Sure. You might see excessive water dripping under the car, or maybe no condensation at all on a hot day. But the most critical visual sign is frost. If you see frost on any of the AC lines, that means a severe pressure problem, usually linked to the expansion valve or critically low refrigerant.
Okay, finally, let's talk about performance. This is often the first most subtle clue, isn't it?
It is. If the air isn't consistently cold, or if it fluctuates cold 1 minute, then warm the next. That cycling means the system is struggling to maintain pressure.
So the computer is turning the compressor on and off to protect it.
Exactly. And also pay attention to how it responds. If the temperature controls feel sluggish, or if the system just can't seem to keep up on a really hot, sunny day, those are all symptoms pointing to a sensor or control module problem. The system's internal balance is off.
So after all that, what does this mean for the driver? The big takeaway seems to be that you just can't take this precision system for granted. The real solution is consistent attention and proactive care.
Absolutely. We have to shift our mindset away from wait until it breaks and move to prevent the failure. Routine maintenance is the only way to safeguard those extremely expensive components. Just cleaning things and checking things prevents the whole system from working harder than it needs to.
And that extends the life of the compressor.
Dramatically.
So let's nail down a quick maintenance checklist. What kind of frequency should people be thinking about?
Okay, let's start with the basics. The refrigerant. You need to have the levels professionally checked and recharged if needed every year.
Annually. Got it.
And it's not just the level. It's about the proper ratio of refrigerant to lubricating oil. Next, the compressor. Since it's the most expensive part, it should be visually inspected for any leaks or wear every 12 to 24 months.
What about the condenser and evaporator?
They're basically big filters and heat sinks. They have to be cleaned of debris and dust every year. A clean condenser lowers the pressure the compressor has to generate, which makes its life so much easier. And cleaning the evaporator gets rid of those moldy smells and restores air quality.
Okay, now let's talk about some best practices that I think a lot of people overlook, especially if you live somewhere with actual seasons. Mm. You mentioned running the system regularly, even in the winter. Why is that so important?
This might be the single most important proactive step you can take. You must run the AC system for a few minutes every single month, even in the dead of winter. Think about the rubber seals and gaskets in the system. They're what hold all that high pressure in. If they just sit there, idle, for 6 months over the winter, they dry out, they shrink, they get stiff and brittle.
Ah, like a garden hose gasket that's been sitting in the sun. It just cracks.
Exactly like that. So then, come June, you turn the AC on for the first time, and that massive sudden pressure change hits those dry, brittle seals.
And they just fail immediately.
And you get an instant leak. Running the system year-round circulates the refrigerant and the oil, and that keeps the seals lubricated, pliable, and properly pressurized. It prevents future leaks.
That makes perfect sense. Lubrication is protection. What's the other key practice?
Keep the exterior clean.
Simple enough.
It is, but it's crucial. The condenser's performance depends entirely on airflow. If the car's grill and the condenser fins behind it are packed with leaves, dust, or road grime, the whole system is basically choking. It forces the compressor to run under extreme pressure for much longer, which just accelerates wear and tear. A simple spray down of the front grill can add years to the life of your major components.
And finally, even with all of this, for a luxury vehicle, a professional inspection is probably still a good idea.
Oh, absolutely. Only a professional can properly test the electrical sensors and control modules. These things can fail silently. You never know. They need specialized equipment to check the system's performance under a real-world load, ensuring everything is operating with that precision you expect.
So this deep dive has really shown us that the climate control in your car is far from a simple, mundane thing. It's a beautifully complex system. And proper care ensures comfort, it protects your investment, and critically, it helps you avoid a lot of unnecessary downtime and some really immense expense.
Indeed. We've really focused on how this high-pressure mechanical system is completely integrated with these highly sensitive electronics. It all relies on sensors to maintain that perfect balance. So I'll leave you with a final thought to consider. The next time you're driving and you hear a faint hiss, or maybe you notice the temperature fluctuating just a little bit, don't just think about losing your cool air. Instead, think about how that simple, maybe 50-cent rubber seal that's failing is allowing the lifeblood of the system to escape, and then calculate how much that's about to cost you when it starves and destroys a multi-$1,000 compressor. It's a good reminder that in these complex systems, the smallest pieces often govern the fate of the biggest ones.